Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Dear listeners, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. And you are listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss problems, questions, and issues parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their offspring. The answers are based upon the noble Quran and the narrations of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam and his holy progeny. We have in this studio our guest speaker, Sister Radhia Batul Najafi. Salamun alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In our previous episode, we talked about encouragement, the important role of encouragement in our teenagers' upbringing.
Exactly.
So in this episode, we will talk about the punishment, how the punishment should be and what kind of role the punishment plays in our teenagers' upbringing. Because as we said, the Holy Quran also says our Anbiya and the Prophets, they have come with both things, you know, encouragement and warnings also. So we should also follow the same rulings of upbringing in our teenagers, especially.
When you say about punishment, I always remember the fine which usually traffic police takes from us. That is very obvious in our life in that sense that we know the wisdom behind punishment. Because many youth, they will ask us again that why punishment? Yeah, punishment is not good. Everyone takes it in a very negative way. But even we discussed before too in our episode that our intention should be very, very pure about punishment. Like we should punish our children because we want to guide them, bring them back to the right path. We as a human being get more affected and we can keep on track more and we can respect the rules more by the fear of that fine and punishment, not just by reward. Have you seen any traffic police who gives some reward if you are respecting the traffic rules? In normal routine,
no.
Yeah, if you are always, for example, wearing seatbelt, no one gives you the reward. But once if you don't wear it, they will take some fine.
Yeah.
So here everyone understand. But when teenagers, they ask us why you are punishing, why, what is the reason? You know, that is very important. Like if they know the reason and the wisdom behind it, then they would love it. And they would not hate their parents because of punishment. They would say, oh, you're always punishing us. You know, you always deprive us from our screen time or whatever. So this is really, really important too.
But this is the last element to use, you know, in our upbringing.
Beautiful, yeah.
As Imam Ali alayhi salam also says, man lam yuslihu husnul mudarat, yuslihu husnul mukafat. If someone does not get cured by good behavior, he gets well using the mukafat, means the punishment.
Beautiful.
He needs the punishment.
Yeah.
Because if we have used the encouragement on time according to the act, but still if it is not, you know, useful, then there is no any other situation, no any other element than punishment.
Exactly, the example of like you're just feeding so many vitamins to your, you know, teenager, for example, you know, boosting his health situation, giving. But still something is bothering inside. So you have to take him to the surgeon and, you know, you have to use the knife sometimes, you know, so that kind of bitterness comes in life.
Yeah, dear listeners, stay tuned. Inshallah, after a short break, we will come back again.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Dear listeners, welcome back. So we were talking about the punishment. Let me tell my dear listeners that punishment does not mean the physical punishment. As Islam always says, emphasize that we should not use physical, and we are not allowed to punish physically. No matter our children are, you know, they are our children or teenagers or they are our students, Islam never allows us to punish physically.
Yeah, almost never. Almost never, definitely.
Very few moments we can use slightly physical punishment. Exactly. That is exception. So here punishment means there are different kind of punishment. For example, nowadays they are using internet or social media. We do not allow them to use for a certain time as a punishment.
Or neglecting them.
Neglecting them.
Not watching to them, you know, like being a bit frowny towards them. You know, that is a big way of negligence.
Yeah, if you have a good relationship with your teenagers and if you don't talk or, for example, get frowny to him for some couple of hours, maybe it's very hard for him.
Cut the relationship for few hours.
Again, this punishment, as we will talk, inshallah, it depends on the situation, on the qualities of your teenager. You know, if he is or she is very sensitive, you can use very slight punishments, you know?
Yes, definitely. And this is very important.
Yeah, this is very important.
I remember once, you know, I was reading in book that if your child is, for example, 7 years old, so you can punish him or her for 7 minutes. You know, because I was reading, I said, oh, you know, he has done some mistake. I will punish him. So I said, if you don't listen to mama, so I will put you in the storeroom for 7 minutes or 3 minutes. The moment I said the child, you know, that was the scene to see, you know, like first time in his life, he was listening to this kind of statement. He said, no, mama, you know, you can't think about it. And that statement was enough. You know, every child is different. So one child get change, you know, that the revolution comes very easily because the heart is very, you know, tender and very soft. And some children are extremely naughty, and teenagers. So they're very stubborn. So you have to take that step for them. So every teenager is definitely different from others.
Yeah, and in punishment also, we should be moderate. And as I said, you know, there shouldn't be any physical punishment and it should not get prolonged, you know.
Exactly.
It should be for a certain short time or period. As Imam Kadhim alayhi salam says, La tadribhu wahjurhu wa la tutil.
Beautiful.
Yeah, the translation? Don't beat him or her. Wahjurhu, leave him alone. Means cut your relations with him or with her for a certain time, for a short period of time, and wala tutil, do not prolong it. Maybe for a few or a couple of hours or a few days, maybe.
Yeah, but maximum, maybe, you know, like about two believers' hadith says maximum is 3 days, not
three
more
days,
than that.
Yeah.
So, but our, but between parents and I think child, it should be not in hours, you know, it shouldn't be more than some hours. So I think this is bothering them a lot. If you neglect them, like the way Allah says on the day of judgment, you know, Allah is not just paying attention to some of, you know, some people.
That will be the biggest punishment
exactly.
for some
La
of the people.
يكلمهم الله. You know, that, you know, not paying attention is the biggest punishment. So here also, when your relationship is very good with your children, if you just neglect them, they will get the indicator and the message, and that is punishment, you know. And we shouldn't go for more, inshallah. You know, our environment of house should be based on so much respect and love. Then this little tiny ways of punishment will work very easily.
Dear listeners, let's take a short break. We will come back after the break.
يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات يا مقضي الخيرات
إمام علي عليه السلام said excessive blame causes the fire of obstinacy to flame.
Dear listeners, welcome back. So if he does or she does a small mistake or she does not listen to us for a, you know, small thing, we should not punish them so heavily or big punishment.
The same way we said about encouragement.
Encouragement,
that, you know, if the achievement is so high, so encouragement and the gift should be high. Same here. If the teenager commit any kind of, you know, mistake, the mistake is so high. For example, he have stolen something. For example, that is something out of our imagination.
Or he or she has committed a sin.
Sin,
you know?
Or something really disrespectful. So, and with knowing, you know, and we have to analyze definitely everything. And if we reach to that conclusion that this action has done by intention, then the punishment should be according to the mistake.
Definitely. And we always should keep in our mind that we should never disrespect them.
Oh, that is not allowed in Islam at all.
That is not allowed. This is a haram act. If we disrespect or betray them, this is itself a haram, a sin. Islam always respects. Allah says,
Inna
human
karamna
being,
bani
Adam. Allah has respected us. And we should respect each other, and we should respect our children, our teenagers. Especially, they are very sensitive. And unfortunately, sometimes we lose our temperament and we become very disrespectful, which can lead us for so many dangerous things.
Yeah.
We should be very cautious.
And you know, whenever we are punishing them, or maybe not giving attention to them, our intention shouldn't be to take revenge. You know, that is very important. Our intention should to guide them, to bring them more nearer to us. So by neglecting them or by just punishing them, if we are punishing them with insulting way, then definitely they will run away from us. And our intention is not to lose them, to get them back. So for getting them back, this punishment should be full of love and full of respect. So they should see the love inside the punishment.
Dear listeners, thank you so much for being with us. I hope you enjoyed. If you have any question, comments, or any suggestion, you can write us at englishradio@irib.ir, and you can follow us on our social media, Call of Islam Radio, and you can visit our website, parstoday.com. Until next episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Arabistic News. With the light.
Iranian families celebrated the ancient tradition of Sizdebedar or Nature's Day by spending some quality time outdoors with family. Yusuf Jalali has a story.
It's Nature's Day in Iran, and parks and countrysides are flooded with families who never miss the chance to spend the final day of Nowruz holidays out with their loved ones. The ancient occasion is called Sizdebedar. Over the past 2 years, the festival was called off amid the coronavirus pandemic, and it's the first time in 2 years that Sizdebedar is marked with such a huge crowd.
Because of the coronavirus, people could not go out on Sizdebedar for 2 years in a row. And this year, the majority are vaccinated and green spaces are jam-packed with picnic goers.
We Iranians have grown up with Sizdebedar and we never miss it. Thank God we can safely enjoy this amazing tradition this year with all our family members and relatives.
Sizdebedar means getting rid of number 13. In Persian mythology, 13 is the bad luck number. Now Sizdebedar is believed to chase away the bad luck and bring good vibes.
Today, we cooked special foods like ash and chicken kebab to eat them for lunch with our family members. We traditionally believe that this day brings bad luck and we must spend it outdoors with joy to get rid of it.
The event is also called the Festival of Nature, and it is an occasion to raise awareness of the need to preserve the environment.
Throughout the history, Iranians have had close relationship with nature, and that's why we have dedicated a special day in our calendar to nature. Before we leave our place here, we clean the environment.
Sizdebedar is the final day of the two-week celebrations of the Persian New Year, known as Nowruz, which marks the beginning of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. The tradition has been celebrated for some 3,000 years in Iran, Tajikistan, and Afghanistan, among other communities. Everyone must have missed outdoor gatherings after more than 2 years of COVID restrictions. Now that worries over the pandemic have eased to some extent, Sizdebedar once again reunited Iranians with Mother Nature, with all the good vibes and hope for a world free of the coronavirus. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
With neon lights on the floor and walls, pulsing electronic beats, and a glowing red shuttlecock bouncing back and forth, Malaysian badminton court evokes a sci-fi movie set. Shuttle in the Dark is a badminton hall in the iconic Petronas Twin Towers in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. It was set up in late 2021 by a sport management company to encourage people to take up the racket sport after 2 years of social restrictions because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Director of INIC Sport Management says the initial goal was to draw sports fans and players back into action.
Our initial goal was how can we encourage and gain back the interest of people to come back and play. And not only those enthusiasts, but then as well the new people who was not able to or never play badminton before. So that's why we come out with this experience called Shuttle in the Dark.
Playing on a futuristic court presents an unusual challenge for athletes as they have to adjust their eyes to the darkness to fly. Badminton is one of the most popular sports in Malaysia and Asia, with a thriving community in the Southeast Asian community. It has produced some of the world's top-ranked players. Ancient Pompeii has a new guardian, Spot, a four-legged robot dog that will inspect the ancient Italian city's streets and tunnels to identify structural issues. The robot, designed by the U.S. firm Boston Dynamics, will patrol Pompeii at nighttime. The robot inspects the smallest of spaces and gathers data for planning interventions to fix safety and structural issues. Equipped with a 360-degree camera, Spot will also protect the city's streets from illegal relic hunters who cause structural damage to the ruins by digging tunnels. Pompeii will also have its own eye in the sky, a Leica BLK-2Fly flying laser scanner capable of autonomously conducting 3D scans of the ruins, helping Spot carry out its tasks. Safeguarding ancient sites from treasure hunters has always been a problem for every country, especially the ancient ones.
A super rare birth has added a cute member to critically endangered Sumatran rhinos of Indonesia. The newborn calf is the sixth born since intensive efforts to breed the species began in the 1980s. The female calf, which doesn't have a name yet, was given birth to by a rhino named Rosa in a sanctuary. Rosa has suffered 8 miscarriages since 2005 when she was brought in from the wild for a breeding program. Fewer than 80 Sumatran rhinos remain in the world, mainly on the Indonesian islands of Sumatra and Borneo. Excessive poaching along with other threats has brought the species to the brink of extinction. The cherry blossom or sakura season in the Japanese capital is a magical experience as trees burst into bloom, dousing the streets with stunning shades of pink. This year, people are enjoying the occasion to the fullest as COVID restrictions are no more there. Thousands gathered in central Tokyo wearing masks, taking pictures and posing for selfies among the trees. Cherry flowers reach full bloom on Sunday, 4 days earlier than usual, according to the Japan Meteorological Agency. The age-old tradition of viewing cherry blossoms typically takes place across the country. The flowers are a national obsession. People flock to parks to hold parties and picnics. However, due to the pandemic, authorities have asked people to refrain from eating and drinking outdoors.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Millions of people across the world celebrate Earth Hour, a symbolic Lights Out event that aims to call attention to environmental issues and the necessity of protecting the planet. The annual event encourages people to turn off their non-essential lighting for an hour and take a break from using electronic devices during that period. Earth Hour takes place every year on the last Saturday of March. The theme of this year's event is Shape Our Future and has been celebrated in more than 180 countries, including Greece, France, Thailand, and Iran. The initiative was first introduced in 2007 by the World Wildlife Fund as a grassroots movement for highlighting the collective responsibility of the people towards their environment. An ancient place in Guatemala with special significance for the Mayan culture could be the next entry on the World Heritage List. The historic village known today as the Takalik Abaj Archaeological Park was occupied for 1700 years before it was abandoned and discovered in 1888. It's said to have been home to a pre-Hispanic people. Archaeologists found their way to this mysterious piece of land where they found a series of exotic artifacts and sculptures back in 2008. Guatemala's Minister of Cultural Heritage says this site has a sacred place in the nation's culture.
Takalik Abaj is a sacred place with important links to Guatemala's culture. It's a place that harbors flora and fauna biodiversity and even Mayan spirituality and war is wild. This makes this place highly important within the Mayan culture in Guatemala.
Archaeologists believe the monuments go back to the deep-rooted civilizations of Olmec and Maya in a Central American culture around 400 BC. The government has presented the site to UNESCO, hoping it will be declared a World Heritage Site.
Belgian-British teenager is on a solo flight around the globe that could make him a world record holder. Mark Rutherford started his journey from a small airfield near the Bulgarian capital, Sofia, on Wednesday. His first destination is the island of Sicily in Italy. From there, he'll fly south to Africa and then around the globe to cross the finish line again in Bulgaria. The 16-year-old pilot says he got his inspiration from his sister.
Egypt's rich history seems to be a gift that keeps on giving. The country has unveiled some exquisite, newly discovered tombs. The pharaonic tombs were found at the Saqqara archaeological site south of Cairo. The site is a big necropolis of Memphis, an ancient capital of Egypt. The graves belonged to a senior royal official, or rather senior royal officials. Some of the graves are engraved with interesting titles such as Steward of the Royal House and Supervisor of the Garden. The tombs are around 4,000 years old, dating back to the Old Kingdom of Egypt.
Nowruz, or the Persian New Year, is celebrated worldwide by millions of people, including the people in Indian-controlled Kashmir. The region, known for its natural beauty worldwide, turns magical each year during its spring season. To mark nature's revival, the people of Kashmir have dedicated a day to thank the mesmerizing beauty of spring. Our correspondent Shahana Bhatt reports.
As the spring season begins in Kashmir, the earth turns lush green and the trees bear colorful blossoms, with the sky visibly blue and waters clear and glassy. After a not-so-harsh winter this year, the people of Kashmir are welcoming the onset of spring. Nowruz, or the Persian New Year, marks the beginning of spring and is celebrated on March 21st. New trees are planted while people offer prayers and seek God's help for a prosperous year.
Each year we await this season so that we can plant new trees. The process of their growth gives us hope, and that hope teaches us that God has set a time for everything. We can't fast-track it. We can only do our best efforts.
On the occasion of Nowruz, women in Kashmir prepare unique dishes made from lotus stem and fish. Mehra and her sister have a busy day today. Friends and family are invited to relish the moment.
We have been taught by our mothers and grandmothers to cook these delicacies on the special occasion of Nowruz. It requires lots of dedication, and what matters is that this food brings friends and families together, and a lot of positive energy is exchanged. For us, Nowruz is not just an occasion, but it marks a fresh beginning of love, growth, and prosperity.
On the occasion of Nowruz, the Kashmiri administration often organizes musical festivals to add fervor to the celebrations. People, especially children, visit these musical festivals in large numbers so that the year starts with cheerful memories. This year, scores of tourists have also come to witness Kashmir's spring.
We had heard that Kashmir looks magical, but we witnessed in reality that this land looks fabulous, especially the spring season.
The early arrival of tourists has added a lot of positivity to Kashmir's tourism sector, which has been hit hard by years of political instability and turmoil. Persian culture is deeply rooted in Kashmir, and celebrating Nowruz is a sign of its influence.
Nowruz marks a new beginning, and after suffering decades of political instability and 2 years of the COVID pandemic, people are only hoping for a return back to a normal life and an everlasting peace. Shahana Bhatt, Indian-administered Kashmir.
Turkey inaugurates the world's longest suspension bridge over the Dardanelles Strait. The bridge is more than 2 kilometers long and connects Turkey's European and Asian shores. It cuts travel time between the two locations to just 6 minutes. A consortium of Turkish and South Korean firms began constructing the huge bridge in 2017 with a budget of 2.5 billion euros. 5,000 workers participated in the colossal undertaking. Passenger vehicles must pay a fare of 200 Turkish liras or around 14 US dollars to use the bridge.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host Musa al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic beliefs. Joining me in the studio today is our dear friend and guest speaker, Sheikh Murtada Karimi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sheikh. Our topic today is a continuation of the previous session's topic, which was about the alteration of the Quran. The question is as follows: why are there differences in the recitation of the Quran? Isn't this proof of it being altered by human hands and thus corrupted? And does this not open the door for the alteration and rewriting of the Quran? Now, Sheikh, last time you mentioned that there were many different recitations, 14 in total, and also the other recitation, which was 10 in total, the famous recitations at least. And we got a bit of history on that, but we didn't get to answer why, in the first place, do we have so many different recitations. So maybe we should start with that, dear Sheikh.
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let me give you some examples of such differences, which can help us to talk
right.
about.
Just to refresh our memory as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. So, for example, in chapter Baqarah, verse 116, one recitation is قَالُ اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. The other is وَقَالُ اتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ وَلَدًا. Only one wa and is the
right.
difference, which is not a big deal, of course. But some may claim that, yeah, it's a big deal. At the end of the day, one of them was revealed by God.
Right.
The other one is chapter Baqarah, verse 132, وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ. The other recitation is وَأَوْصَى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ, which means the same, but from two variations of the root وَصَيَا. Chapter Ma'idah, verse 54, مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ. The other is مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ. Chapter Al-A'raf, verse 141, وَإِذْ أَنْجَيْنَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ, which means, we saved you from Pharaoh. The other is, وَإِذْ أَنْجَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ, when he saved you, that is God.
So the meaning is seemingly the same.
Almost the same, yeah. And chapter Al-Isra, verse 96, قَالَ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّي, the other is, قُلْ سُبْحَانَ رَبِّي, he said, glorified is my Lord, or say.
Right, glorified. You say.
You say, yeah. These are some examples. But why we have such differences, we need to talk about that, which, help us in concluding that this has nothing to do with the concept of alteration of the Quran. Now, the first point is that what we call it nowadays as calligraphy, at that time, in those age, even in the second century after Hijrah, was in its early age stage. So it was not like today that even we have all the vowels written and printed and everything.
Right.
Let me give you some examples. In that time, for example, noon, which is similar to M, was written in a way that it was very similar to re or ra or r. Or, for example, in some cases, Wav and Ya were written in the same way. Very similar to each other. I'm talking about the Kufi way of writing.
Right, the Kufi calligraphy.
Exactly.
Right.
Or in some cases, for example, two Ya were written separated from each other. When we have two following Ya's. For example, Yastahyi or Nastahyi, we have two Ya. In
right.
one of the ways was to separate between these two yuan, not to connect them to each other. And all these later brought about such differences in reciting the Quran. And in some cases, ya was omitted altogether. For example, ilafihim was written like ilafihim without the ya being written. So that is why we have, for example, the recitation of le'ilaf Quraysh, and the other is le'ilaf Quraysh, for example. I mean, I'm talking about the roots of such differences. The other is that we have what we call it tanween. For example, when we say aliyan, that noon at the end of it is like a tanween, like two fathas together.
Right.
In some, stages, tanween was written like a noon, not like two fathas. That is why even today we see in some of the, copies of the Quran, لَنَسْفَعَنْ بِالنَّاسِيَ, like written like a noon.
Right, they do not write the standard markers for the tanween.
And some people write it this noon like a tanween, two fatha. Or لَيَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ or لَيَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ, we have the same. Like some people write it like noon and others like two fathas. In other cases, another reason which is also related to the calligraphy of Arabic language in that time, which is in its earliest stage, is that in some cases, waw was omitted. When it was connected to the next word. Let me give you an example. For example, we have Salihul Mu'mineen, which is Salihuna, based on Arabic grammar, noon is omitted, and then we have Salihu Al Mu'mineen, but it is recited as Salihul Mu'mineen, because we have Alif,
right.
Alif Lam Wasl, Hamzatul Wasl. So this Salihul Mu'mineen, which is in the plural form, it is Salihun Al Mu'mineen.
Right. But people because, who know Tajweed will understand this example.
Yeah,
right.
I hope it's not that too much complicated. So Salihul Mu'mineen, this Bab is written, nowadays it is written, but it's not pronounced. But in that time, according to, some ways of writing, Bab was also omitted. So it was written like Salih Al-Mu'mini. And this is another cause that later people who tried to recite this verse, they didn't know whether it is Salihul Mu'mineen, Salih in singular form, or Salihu Al-Mu'mineen.
Plural
form. Which is another cause for differences of recitation.
Right, and that's pretty a pretty big cause, I would say.
Yeah. So, is it related to God? No.
No.
This is one point. That is why I'm referring to the roots of these differences.
It's our fault, basically.
Our fault, exactly. Right. So this is one.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
The second reason is that at that time, the Arabic letters did not have any dot. Later,
yes.
Arabic letters, they had, dots.
Right, they were added because of, I remember one of the theories was because the Arabs themselves, they knew how to read
exactly,
this.
That is the point. And at that time, the companions of the Prophet, to some extent, they were not confused how to read the Quran. But imagine that nowadays, if Sin and Sheen are written in the Quran the same, Sheen
right.
without any dots, we would get confused for, any letter, whether it is Sin or Sheen.
Right.
But at that time, there was no dot. Or ba, ta, tha, all of them the same. Jim,
no dots
ha,
at
ha,
all.
No dot.
Right, yes.
Sa, dot, the same. Ta, dot, the same.
It was very specialized, localized at that time to only the Arabic speakers.
Yeah, but those people were too professional that as soon as they looked at the words and the sentence, they quickly just could guess whether it is
It was their language after all. Exactly. They also wrote this way.
Mm-hmm. But later, people in the next generations, when they wanted to put dots and there was a gap between them, of course, the Quran is being recited by all the people, but it's very natural that now when you want to add dots to the Noble Book of Quran, such differences happen. For example, we have in a verse, إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. This is the famous recitation that nowadays we have.
Right. Surat al-Hujurat.
Hujurat. Another recitation of the same verse is, instead of فَتَبَيَّنُوا فَتَثَبَّتُوا. You see the same structure,
right.
The same form, but only with the difference of the dots.
Right, which changes the letters and the meaning.
Exactly. Or, for example, we have نُنْشِزُهَا. Another recitation is نُنْشِرُهَا. Ra and Za. Or, for example, يُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ. The other is نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ. Or فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَجِّيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ فَالْيَوْمَ نُنَحِيكَ بِبَدَنِكَ. You see,
right,
this is
yes.
another reason that later we have such differences in reciting the Quran. The third reason was that at that time, not only we did not have any dot, there was also no vowel like fatha, kasra, dhamma that nowadays we have. So again, for those people who were very professional, they could guess. For example, imagine alif, ayn, lam, and mim. It can be written, it can be recited as i'lam.
Right. It can be read different ways.
Yeah, i'lam, you know, as a kind of imperative
right.
verb. Or a'lamu, I know. Or a'lama, or a'lam as af'al al-tafdhil.
Right.
You see only one word, but without vowels,
right.
non-Arabs cannot guess.
Without the i'rab, without the vowels.
Yeah.
Right.
So at that time, again, the Quran was written without any vowels. That is why later people, when they wanted to recite the Quran, some of them, they chose different ways of
right.
giving fatha, dhamma, kasra.
And we can imagine it would only get worse for people who are not Arabs.
Exactly. So yeah, we are talking about, Arabic-speaking reciters. So for
right.
example, we have the verse, قَالَ أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Some people recite it as A'lamu, I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is omnipotent, but some recite it as Qal I'lam. He said,
right.
you know that Allah is omnipotent. It doesn't make a big difference in the meaning, but the point is that at the end of the day, this is a difference in reciting the Quran.
Right.
Or for example, وَلَا تَسْأَلْ عَنْ أَصْحَابِ الْجَحِيمِ. Do not ask. Or وَلَا تُسْأَلُ. You are not asked. Again, the same word.
Right.
With
yes.
the same letters, but the point is that about the vowels, whether it is
these
ta
dots.
Or to.
Right,
yeah.
yes.
So this is another reason for differences in recitation of the Quran. The last one is that in that time, Aleph was not written, and that was another big problem. We know that the Kufi way of writing down the Arabic language was taken somehow from Syriac language. And the way of writing down. And in Syriac, Aleph, when it was at the middle of a word, it was not written. So the same was applied to Kufi way of writing down the verses, and it caused some,
difficulties, confusion. Misconceptions.
Yeah, I will explain about this one in the following session, and then we'll go to the our main topic, which is about the connection
right.
between... But I think we needed to explain about these roots for...
Yes, these introductions, we can have some background information on why this has happened. Just to summarize, dear Sheikh, it is not because we have 10 or 14 different Qurans, the same
not
Quran,
at all. The same,
same
Quran.
Words, but because of the way it was written and kept safeguarded, there has been some confusion and
exactly.
minor differences. And with that, we will end today's program. I thank the dear Sheikh for joining us today and for sharing with us his knowledge. And as always, I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. لعلي وحسين وحسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Dear listeners, hello everyone. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and in this edition, we will try to have a closer look at the 25th chapter, Surah Al-Furqan. First, let's just listen to the verses we're going to talk about in this program, and we'll be back shortly. So stay with us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
أرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه أفأنت تكون عليه وكيلا
Have you seen the one who takes as his God his own desire? Then would you be responsible for him?
As you have been previously with us, brothers and sisters, we were discussing the 43rd verse of chapter Furqan. أرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا Have you seen him who takes his low desires for his God? Would you then be a guardian over him? In this verse, any other God other than Almighty Allah is called Hawa, which is the root and the main root of all evil, specifically the root of idol worshipping, following low desires. So that is why Almighty Allah in this noble verse says that if you as my prophet are ridiculed, if you are stood against, if you see the people denying the call of you as my prophet, it is not because you might have a problem. It is not because you might have weak logic. It is not because your reasons are not convincing. It is not because your religion cannot be followed. It is merely because they are not obeying their reasons and intellects. It is because they have taken their low desires as their gods. So this verse somehow concludes all the previous pretext seeking of the polytheists, the pagans and unbelievers against the Prophet of Islam. And also the previous nations before the Prophet of Islam. They also had different pretexts not to accept the call of their messengers. But this verse concludes them all. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى Have you seen him who takes his low desires and his God, as his God? أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا Can you be a guardian over him?
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
أيها الناس وأنتم
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
Dear listeners, undoubtedly there are various instincts, there are various desires in man. They are, of course, necessary for the continuance of his life. There are different desires. Anger, love, fury, self-loving, being fond of wealth and this material life, and such like. Certainly, system of creation has created all of these various desires in mankind for the sake of perfection. Now, what is important in this case is that sometimes they do not cut their coat according to their cloth and exceed the limit, which means they cannot be controlled sometimes. It means they will not be in the hand and control of mind. They begin to rebel and revolt. These desires sometimes imprison intellect and rule the whole entity of man, and they take him under their control. This is the same thing that is called worshipping low desires. This is what is sometimes referred to as sensuality, which is more dangerous than all kinds of idol worshipping. Even idol worshipping is also generated from it, as the verse says. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَهُ. This is why the Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, has counted idol of low desire as the worst and supreme idol, where he says, under the sun and before Allah, there is no greater idol than low desire that is worshipped. The Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, has also said elsewhere, the most disliked idol that is worshipped in the earth is the idol of low desire. If we think well about this sentence, we find out that worshipping low desire is the source of unawareness and ignorance, as the Holy Quran says, and do not obey him whose heart we have made neglectful of our remembrance, and he follows his own low desire, and whose affair has become all excess. In the 28th verse of chapter Kahf, we read, وَلَا تُتِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. And his affair has become all excess. On the other hand, worshipping low desires is the source of paganism and faithlessness, as we said and we read earlier in the previous verses. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode of the program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always worked for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
Ramadan, the month of opportunities. In the name of God, salam and welcome to the program. The unique days of the blessed month of Ramadan provide the best opportunity for worship of God. This month is a very good period for gaining spirituality and purity of heart. Today, hedonism prevails among many human societies, as capitalist culture and utilitarianism rule in many